Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you are with your Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me quickly to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. Look at Luke. If you look at Luke 24. Quickly look at Luke 24. Let's look at Luke 24. So you are heading to Luke, but let's look at Paul. Let's look at Paul before we look at Luke. So branch at 1 Corinthians quickly, chapter 2. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look at chapter 9. But as it is written, so you probably would have read previous verses to get the context of what's been spoken about. But basically, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. So he says in verse 9, it is written, I had not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Now, did you see that? God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, right? The deep things of God. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. So Paul says, it is written, I had not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man. So interestingly, a lot of believers will use that narrative for a car, a house, a mansion, whatever they bought or whatever material possession they think they've gotten. But Paul makes you see that what he's talking about is the Spirit of God that is given upon the resurrection. That's why it tells you in verse 12, we have received. So one fundamental fact to get from 1 Corinthians 12 is that a man has received something. You want to know who the man is, right? Paul is writing to a set or a bunch of believers in Corinth, right? So he's saying we have received will include Paul and disciples in Corinth. So we have received not the Spirit. So it tells you what you have not received and what you received. So if you want to read verse 12 again, you can say, now we have received the Spirit which is of God. How else can you say that? Now we have received the Spirit of God. Are we together? So now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God. Or what you can say is, now we have received the Spirit which is of God and not the Spirit of the world. So there are two types of spirits. There's a Spirit of God and the Spirit of the world. There's one that you receive and there's another one that other people can actually have, and there are two different conversations. So the Spirit we've received is the Spirit of the world and not the Spirit of God, rather, and not the Spirit of the world. All together, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So there is the Spirit of God, and there is that are freely given to us of God. So God is a God that freely gives, and he gives something, and that thing which he gives is the Spirit of God, so that a man will believe the gospel, and by believing the gospel, he receives that Spirit. So a man who believes the gospel is a man who receives the Spirit. All together, not just the Spirit, but the Spirit of God. Are we together? So every believer is a spirit man. So you listening to me right now, as long as you believe the message of the gospel, you are now a spirit man. So you are a spirit man, a man that has the Spirit of God. Are we together? So you are a man that is loaded with the Spirit of God. Look at Ephesians. Look at Paul again. You are going to look, right? Don't forget that. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Or look at verse 3 first. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Look at that carefully. Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Now, I've taught this over the years that the word blessed in the Greek manuscript that will be within Matthew to Revelation has two meanings in the Greek. One is Makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, Makarios, right? And the other one is eulogy. Now, eulogy, right? Eulogy. So, eulogy is spelled E-U-L-O-G-Y. So, there's eulogy, there is Makarios. Now, Makarios means to be fortunate altogether, right? So, it is more blessed. You know, the Bible will tell you in Acts, quoting Jesus, saying, it is more blessed to give than receive. What is he saying? Like, you are more fortunate to give than to receive, right? When you look at the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor and the rich in the spirit, and poor of this world, and all those conversations in Matthew's Gospel 5, right? But that's the use of the word blessed. Now, but there's a second use of the word blessed in the Greek eulogy. And it's a word that means to praise or to speak well or to say something in a way. Are we together? Or say something good. Did you get that? Right? So, if I say something good about you, I am actually blessing you. You know, in our conventional world today, if you look back into a few weeks, we did a series on navigating your Bible. And we've been able to see that the Bible wasn't written in English. Are we together? So there are lots of words that, whilst they can be used in our world today, and it will mean something different, in the Bible world, it didn't mean what it means today. Altogether. So you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, or you meet a friend you've not seen before and you say, oh, God bless me with a new job. You see, that's not entirely wrong to say. God bless me with a new house. Well, that's not entirely wrong to say. It's because the word bless now has become an English word used to communicate certain truths and certain facts. However, in Bible world or Bible, in the Bible world, or in Bible language, or in the use of the Bible to explain the Bible, the word blessed will either mean eulogy or fortunate, right? So look at that word again, Ephesians 1:3. The Bible says, blessed be the God that is, that's what and. What we're looking at that on Sunday, talking about how the word and, you know, can be used for both conjunctions, talking about two different things or the same thing, right? Blessed be the God and Father. So what he's saying is, blessed be the God, I mean the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed. So, you know, if you want to use the word blessed the way we use it in our world today, you can't say that about God. Altogether. So blessed be our God. So let's say, you see, we say God blessed us with a car. God blessed us with a house. Altogether. God blessed me with sound health. Anything you want to say. So how do you think Paul is using that word in application to God? Right? Is it that you bless God? Anyways. So what Paul is saying, blessed be the God and God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed. Now he had what? He had blessed us. What has he blessed us with? He says, he has blessed us with all spiritual. Did you get that? Right? He says, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly, in Christ. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? That ye may know what is freely given. So how else can you say something is freely given? God has blessed. Right, so what is Paul saying? We speak well of the God. Are we together? We speak, that's eulogy. Paul cannot be saying, fortunate be God. No, so we speak well, right, of the God, I mean, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us with all spiritual blessings. What did Paul say? Now we have received not the Spirit. But the Spirit, right? Not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know what is freely given to us of God. Paul now tells you there are spiritual blessings that actually God gives. Now, he says, he had blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly. Where are they found? In Christ. So it means that the blessings that will be associated with this Spirit will be limited to the men that are found in Christ. Did you get that? I'll say that one more time. The blessings associated with this Spirit will be limited with the man found in Christ, such that a man, if he can have any other thing in this world, and you too can have it in Christ, it is not part of the spiritual blessings Paul speaks about in Ephesians 1. Are we together? Let me say this way. If you can have a bottle of water, or let me say this way, if you can have a cup of water, or have a house, right, and another man who is not in heaven in Christ can have it, right? It is not the spiritual blessings Paul speaks about in Ephesians 1 verse 3. So he says, God has blessed us, that is our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings where? In Christ. So where will those spiritual blessings be found? They'll be found with and in men that are found in Christ. How do you know they are not physical, they are spiritual? You see, the word there, spiritual, is spiritual. Are we together? It is to show you it's a distinction. So it didn't say who has blessed us with all blessings. Are we together? Right? Who has blessed us with... So it uses the word spiritual to qualify the blessing. So he has blessed us with spiritual blessing. Right? So what is spiritual blessing? Blessing of the Spirit. What did you receive? We've received. Right? We've received. Right? We've received. Right? We've received what? The Spirit of God, not the spirit of this world. So there's spiritual blessing, there's spirit of the world, and there's spirit of God. Spiritual blessings will be associated with the Spirit of God. Now, you are in Luke, oh, don't forget, but go to Romans. Go to Romans 8 quickly. Luke at Romans 8. Don't forget, you are in Luke. Luke at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 carefully. If you look at verse 9 with me, you'll be saved. Look at verse 9 with me. Don't forget, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. What did he say? We have received the Spirit of God, not the spirit of this world. Right? What is associated with the Spirit of God? Ephesians 1 tells you spiritual blessings. Where are spiritual blessings found? They are found in heaven in Christ. Did you get that? Right? Look at Romans chapter 8 verse 9. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So Paul is making a distinction between flesh and spirit. Are we together? But you see, you need to be careful when understanding the Bible. You're actually in the flesh, right? It's because you are fleshly. That's why you can listen to me right now. So you need to understand what Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. Anyway, it's not for today. But look at where I'm going to. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So what is he saying? You are in the Spirit if the Spirit dwells in you. So ye are in the Spirit, but in the Spirit, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what does it mean to have not the Spirit of Christ? It is to have the Spirit of the world. Do you get that? That's from 1 Corinthians. Paul tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of God, right? He now tells you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, right? Look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in you. So how does the Spirit of God dwells in you? Paul tells you, you have received. Now we have received, right? Paul tells you, I have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of the man, right? Or the man. What God has prepared for those that love. Who are those that love? There will be those that will by extension believe. He says, Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandment. That is, keep my charge. That is, believe my message of my resurrection. Well, that's ambiguous. It depends on the context you're looking at it from. But he says that, I had not seen, ears has not heard, but ye have received a spirit. Not just a spirit, the Spirit of God. Now, Paul tells you, that spirit of him that raised God. What spirit is that? The Spirit of God. So, the Spirit of God raised God Jesus from the dead. Where does that spirit now dwell? The Spirit dwells in you. Altogether. So he says, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his Spirit. What Spirit? The Spirit of God. That what? Dwelleth in you. So where does God's Spirit dwell? God's Spirit dwells in you. Where is God's Spirit? God's Spirit dwells in you. That same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is the Spirit that dwells in you. Are we together? Look at verse 15. Ye have not received the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. Hold on, don't forget you are in Luke. We are trying to examine Luke via 1 Corinthians, then via Ephesians, then via Romans. So go back to 1 Corinthians. You are in Romans 8 right now. Why do you have so many fingers, right, for things like this? Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you would, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 9 first. It is written, I have not seen, nor ears heard. Now, you know, I've explained to you just this evening, that is not saying that I had not seen the job that God is keeping in stock for you. No. I have not seen is a spirit conversation Paul is having. Look at verse 12, where I'm going to. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received. Now, it now tells you what you have not received and what you have received. He says, now you have received not the spirit of the world. So there's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of God. What have you received? The spirit of God. And now you have received the spirit of God, not the spirit of this world, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of that God. Right? So Paul will now tell you in Ephesians that you are blessed with spiritual blessings. What is spiritual blessings? Blessings of that spirit. That so if I have to combine 1 Corinthians and Ephesians, I will say now we have received the spirit of God, which is not the spirit of this world, and we have received blessings of the spirit. Are we together? So there are blessings of the spirit that we've received. How? By being in Christ. Remember, spiritual blessings are only limited to a man that is found in Christ. So once a man is not in Christ, he cannot partake of the spiritual blessings, because the spiritual blessings are limited and restricted to men that have what? Received the spirit. What spirit? Oh, the spirit of God, not the spirit of this world. Did you get that? Right? So go back to Romans. So from 1 Corinthians, we have two spirits. There's the spirit not to receive, and there's a spirit we have received. Right? The spirit not to receive, or we have not received, is the spirit of this world. Right? The spirit we've received is the spirit of what? God. Look at Romans 8, verse 15. Ye have not received. Paul is going again to receiving and not. So he's telling you again what you've not received, just like what he told you in 1 Corinthians of what you've not received. So he says in 1 Corinthians, you've not received the spirit of this world, but you've received the spirit of God, right? He now tells you in Romans, he says, ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. So bondage is, so there's a spirit of bondage again to fear. Let's leave that in inverted commas, right? So in that, there's a spirit of bondage again to fear, you will put that in the same WhatsApp group, right, with the spirit of this world. Did you get that? Then there's another spirit, which is the spirit of God, in a different Telegram group, right? What would that be? He says, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. So how else can you say spirit of God, spirit of adoption? Altogether, right? Spirit of adoption. Now, in days or years to come, give me time, we have time, we'll explain what the concept of adoption is in the Christian faith, or what the concept of inheritance is in the Christian faith, right? You see, that adoption, don't view it from a concept of going to, you know, it's easy to be very interesting and, you know, have used examples and say adoption is God came to the, what do you call it, the orphanage home. Don't view it as orphanage home, picked from orphanage home. No, the adoption concept is a concept that when a Hebrew guy hears or sees, excuse me, he would actually know what is being spoken about. But anyways, there's a spirit of adoption and a spirit, right, of bondage again to fear. How else can you say spirit of bondage again to fear? It is the spirit of this world. How else can you say spirit of adoption? It is the spirit of God, whereby we cry, Father, Father. Are we together? Now look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness. Now, from this, you must understand that the Spirit is not a substance, is not a thing, is not a is not a thing, or what you call a whatever you want to call it, really, right? Is not a anyways, it is not an it. Just stay there, right? It actually says the Spirit itself, if you actually go back to reading context, a better way to read that will be the Spirit himself beareth witness with what? With our spirit that we are the children of God. What did you receive? Spirit. What spirit? Spirit of God. What is happening? Spirit of adoption is being received. What does that make you? It makes you a child of God. So who are you? You are a child of God because you've received the spirit of God, not the spirit of this world. That is, you've received the spirit of adoption, not the spirit of bondage again to fear. Did you see that? Right? And because you've received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of God, you have actually come into an adoption. Right? Are we together? Right? So it says we are children of God. So who is a child of God? A child of God is one who has received what God gives. Paul tells you that we may know the things that are freely given. What is that which is freely given? It is actually that Holy Ghost. Okay, go to Matthew 7. Oh, you're going to take a long time before you get to Luke this evening. But keep looking into your Bible. Are you there? So look at Matthew 7, 7. Right? Matthew 7, 7. Right? Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You see, mind you, dear saints, there is safety in repetition. So when we say these things over and over, right, it is actually beneficial for our sake, for our need, for our good, right? So look at Matthew 7. I know you all looked at this on Sunday. So ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, it shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Are we together? Now, we're back to the concept of receiving. Right? And everyone that seeketh findeth, okay? Everyone that knocketh, it shall be open. What man is there of you, whom if his son should ask for bread, we will give him stone? You see, one of the things you must note in this conversation of Jesus is, he is not comparing the heavenly father with the earthly father. No, he is just using an example to show you a concept. We'll look at that shortly. But let me know faster than myself. He says, if your son should ask for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will you give him a serpent? He now says, if ye then being evil. You must also know that the use of the word evil in the Bible language is not as we use today. It's not, so, evil there is not, this is not the kind of evil talking about someone killing somebody. That's not that kind of evil that is being spoken about there, right? But just let's leave it up for now. He says, if ye being then evil, know how to good gifts. Are we together? Know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father in heaven, Heavenly Father. Now, Ephesians 1 says, your Father has blessed you with spiritual blessings in heaven. Matthew tells you, this is Jesus now telling you, your Heavenly Father give you good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Right? Now, look at how Luke renders that. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. Look at Luke chapter 11, verse 9 quickly. Luke 11, look at Luke. Finally, you got to Luke, right? But you're not going to where I wanted you to go to. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, it shall be given. Is that the same narrative? Yes, the exact same narrative, right? Is that so? Seek, it shall find. The knock, it shall be opened. Everyone that asketh in verse 10, receive it. Seeketh, findeth. Knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son should ask for bread, will you give him stone, fish, serpent? Now look at verse 13. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father, who is Heavenly Father? Heavenly Father is the Father that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ. Did you get that? Right? So, how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? So, the concept of what Jesus is teaching in Luke from verse 9 and Matthew 7 is the concept of asking. Are we together? And when a man asks, what happens? He receives. What does he receive? That which God gives freely. What is that which God gives freely? The Spirit. How else can you say it? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption. Did you get that? Are we together? So the good thing, so you know, Matthew 7 will say, look at Matthew 7 again. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things? Now, in the Greek, the word good and things is a singular Greek word. And it's a word that means agathos. I'll spell that for you. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Are we together? It's something that is inherently good in itself. So it is something good. Are we together? That which is good, right? So it's full of goodness. How else can you say that? It is good. Just stay there, right? So what is the good thing? You see, if you read Matthew 7 and use the English translation of good things, you will think it's so many things. Because things is plural. Are we together? What is good things? Yeah, my house, my car, my job. Those are several things. But actually, the agathos there is used to speak about a thing that is inherently good. Right? That's why when Luke now tells you in Luke 11, he says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you that? Not a spirit, the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? Into bracket, spirit of adoption, into bracket what? Spirit of God. What did I do? Ephesians, Romans, and what? 1 Corinthians 2. So what is the good thing that God gives freely? God gives actually the Spirit of God, or His Spirit, which is what you call the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Right? So go back to Romans 8. So Romans 8 now tells you, ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that what? We are children of God. So a man that asks, we receive. Receive what? Receive the spirit of adoption, that is the Spirit of God. What does that now make that man? That now makes the man a child of God. Altogether, that now makes a child, that makes a man a child of God. So who are you? You are one. Go back to verse 14. He says, for as many as are led. The word led there is the Greek word ago, ajo, A-G-O. Now, it's a word that means to be brought forth and to be brought into. Or you can say to be translated from a point to another. Are we together? So, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you see, Paul, if you look from Romans 8 from verse 1, he's discussing two conversations, which you summarize as that which is of the flesh and that which is of the Spirit. So, to be led there will be to live a part of the Spirit or a type of the Spirit into another Spirit. So, for as many as are led by the Spirit, that is, as many as are brought forth by the Spirit of God, they are what? Sons of God. So, who are you? Do I a son of God? Now, son in today's language will speak of the male child of a man. Son in the Bible doesn't mean anything masculine or masculine or male. No. Son in the Bible speaks about one who has an inheritance. Did you get that? Right? So, son, so don't be that believer that when they say lift your hand, say I'm a son of God, you say I'm a daughter of God. No, you don't need to do that. Yeah, it just a very large extent exposes your ignorance. Did you get that? Right? So you don't have to say I'm a daughter of God, because see, son is not used here to speak of a male species, right? It doesn't mean that when you are in Christ, you are male. No, he's just really saying that is a man that has an inheritance. The same way father. You know, over the news a few weeks ago, something was trending about how the government of the UK are trying to, you know, tolerate some very ridiculous concepts within the church. And one of the arguments was, do you want to now say our father, our mother? You see, when you say our father, our mother, who art in heaven, you must understand that you are not dealing with father and mother or fatherhood and motherhood from the perspective of a male and female. No, father just really means the source of. That which is the source, that which produces. Do you get? So when you say God is a father, that is in no way alluding to a fact or to any fact that God is a man or God is a male. Yeah, don't dabble into that conversation, right? So why did Jesus come as a man? Really, because Jesus will only be accepted by men, listened to by men, if he had come as a man in their world. Why? Because women were relegated. Did you get that? Right? So it's not to make any point, really. It is just for his message to be heard and be accepted. Why did Jesus speak only to his disciples? Really, the world will listen to a man in their world more than a woman. Even in our world today, even though we are fighting that fight, yeah, there's a fight that's making the voice of the ladies more prominent right now, which is lovely, beautiful. Hopefully you do it the godly way. But in their world, a man's world will always have. Now that is why when Mary told them he is alive, because a woman's word doesn't hold power in their culture, they had to go confirm, or they still remain in disbelief and unbelief. Are we together? So a man's word will carry weight in their world. Did you get that? Right? So Jesus will pick 12 disciples. However, upon the resurrection, he will send a woman to go and preach to them. So the first apostle after the resurrection to preach the resurrection was a woman. So he sent a woman to say, go and he's alive. And they did not believe, to the point that Jesus now came and said, oh fools. Okay, go to the Luke 24. Go to Luke 24. Go to the Luke 24 that you started going to. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24:24, right? It says, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Then he said, so the woman said, as the woman had said. So the female gender was the first apostle. So a woman was the first apostle. If you read the scriptures, you see that Jesus asked a woman, "Go tell my apostles." Why were they only men? Really, there are lots of things that will be accepted, tolerated for men than women in their world, even in our world. Are we together? Right? So he says, "A certain of them went with us to the sepulchre and found it even so as women had said." It means they went to the sepulchre to confirm what the woman said. They didn't believe the woman. Right? But they did not see him. So what now happened? Jesus now said unto them, "O fools." Why did he call them fools? Why? Because they did not believe. What were they to believe? What the woman said. So once you say, "O fools, slow of heart to believe all the prophet has spoken," it is as good as saying what the woman said. Do you understand? Because they went back to the sepulchre to find out if what the woman said was true. Why? Because a woman's word in their word will not hold worth. Yeah, a woman's word in their world will not have worth or hold ground. Or basically, I want to say that, right? So it says Christ was to suffer according to the prophets. However, a woman just told you is a lie. You went back there to confirm if it's true. Altogether. So when you say son, when you say father, it's not in any case trying to say God is a male gender or a male species, right? And sons of God will mean male species. No, not at all. So go back to Romans. Go back to Romans. So it says, "For as many," chapter 8, verse 14, "as many as are led," that is brought forth by the Spirit of God, "they are the what? The sons of God." Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. If you look at Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 26 quickly. Galatians 3:26. Don't forget, yeah, 1 Corinthians 2. Yeah. Ephesians 1. Yep. Romans 8. Yep. We're going to look. Yep. Look at Galatians 3. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Verse 26. Right? "For ye are all the children of God by faith." How else can you say children of God by faith? "Ye are all the sons of God." What does it mean to be a son? It is you are that which has an inheritance, not a male child of a man. Are we together? Right? So "for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Look at what it says in 27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you what? Put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither what? Male nor female." What is he saying? In identification or upon examination of the sonship of believers, you don't categorize sons as male or female. Altogether. So what is he saying? Gender is no yardstick to qualify a child of God. Did you get that? He says, "Ye are all children of God." So we don't classify children of God based on male and female. No, we understand children of God as those who have an inheritance. So he says, "There is no Greek, no male, that is no female, no bond, no free. There is no male, no female. Ye are all of one in Christ Jesus." Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. So we'll start closing them one after the other after Hebrews 2. Hopefully. Look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 11. "For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one." Right? "For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, what is brethren? Brethren is the Greek word adelphos. Now, what is the word adelphos? Is a word that speaks about those who have a same heritage or the same heritage. Those who have the same inheritance. That is, those who are from the same womb. Are we together? So he calls us his brother, his brethren, or we are brethren. So a male and female is a brethren. Get that, just pick that, just accept that English. Are we together? So we are all brethren. Brethren not in the fact that we are now all male because we are brethren or sons. No, brethren in the fact that we have a goodly heritage. We have a godly inheritance. We have a good thing that God gives. What is that? His spirit. So his spirit in you makes me a brethren. Accept my English. His spirit in you makes you my brethren. Yeah. His spirit in me makes me your brethren. Yeah. It makes me your brother. Yeah. It makes you my brother. Yeah. So what is brother? Brother will not be a male species of a family. No. It's going to be that man which is of a family that has the same inheritance or heritage, which is what? The spirit of God. Altogether, so we are no longer going to consider. So he says, we for this sake, both he that sanctified, verse 11 of chapter 2 Hebrews, and they who are sanctified, who are the they? What man will call male and female, right? And they who are sanctified, right, are all of one. We have one source, one heritage. Altogether, both male, both female. Look at Galatians again. He says, we are all children of God by faith. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, we've what? Put on Christ. That is, we are now in identification with Christ. We don't now understand believers and relegate believers by their gender, by their economical status or status, right? Or by their ethnicity, right? For if you have believed Christ, you've put on Christ, you've been baptized into Christ, ye are now of one. One Father, one Spirit, one baptism. That's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians. Are we together? So let's start closing one by one. Now, Romans 8. For as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God, ye are the sons of God. So they are the sons of God, will be bracket, what man calls male and female. What is sons of God? A man that has an inheritance or a heritage. Are we together? That man which receives from an offshoot or from a source. What is father? Father will be that which is a progenitor, a source, a giver of life. Are we together? Anyways, so father, our father who art in heaven, if you say our mother, you must actually understand that mother, father, they are all the same, genderless. Are we together? Right? So our father who art in heaven is not a way to communicate that our God is a man. No. Our father who art in heaven is actually a man who, actually a God who is the source of your faith, the source, the creator of the universe, really. So he says, ye have received not the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the what? The spirit of adoption. Altogether, right? So look at Ephesians 1. Or before you go to Ephesians 1, go to John 7. John 7, look at verse 37. John 7, 37. Are you in John 7? If you are there, say I'm there. Look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. Look at that carefully. John 7, 37. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man should thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What does it mean to thirst? Look at verse 39. But he spake he of the Spirit. So what does it mean to thirst? It means to be without the Spirit, or to be with another spirit that is not the Spirit of God. Did you get that? Right? So to be thirsty there will not mean you lack H2O, but it will mean you lack the water of God, which is God's Spirit. Right? So look how it says again, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and what? Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Look at that again. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what does Jesus have to give from his belly? It is rivers of living water. Mind you, it will not be his literal belly. Altogether. Now, what is Jesus dealing with? Jesus is dealing with a man that is thirsty. So he says, if thou be thirsty, come and drink. What does it mean to be thirsty? It means to suffer thirst, or to suffer that which quenches thirst. That's a beautiful way to see that, right? To suffer that which quenches thirst. Are we together, right? So he says, he that is thirsty, let him come and drink. He says, out of his belly, he that believeth. Now, from 1 Corinthians 2, what happens to a man that believes? He receives. What does he receive? He receives the good thing of Matthew 7, Luke 11, which is the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? So he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly. Another way you can say that is out of his womb. What womb would that really be? It will be the womb of his resurrection. Right? It's a very interesting word. So don't think of belly as stomach. Are we together? Don't think of it from the concept of stomach. It's a concept of that in your womb which gives birth or supplies. So the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46. You should have opened your Bible to so many places today, right? Don't worry, that's why you're in church. Look at Psalm 46, verse 4. Psalm 46, verse 4. Look at Psalm 46, verse 4. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. How else can you say city of God? Oh my goodness, go to Hebrews. Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. Verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. Right? City of the living God. Right? City of the living God will deal with men, right? Coming into God's kingdom. Right? So he says, you have come unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Right, to an innumerable company of angels. Look at what it says in 23. To the general assembly and the church. What will church be? The ecclesia. That is those that have been called out into. That is those that have been led into. Altogether. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. So there's the general assembly and church. That is church. What will church be? What will general assembly be? A community of people. Altogether. So when you think Mount Zion, you think of heavenly Jerusalem, that is a city of the living God or a city of God. So go back to Psalm 46. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of the living God. What will city of living God do with the general assembly, that is the church of the firstborn? Altogether. So it says, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So God shall be her Isaac. Who would the her be? It will be the people of God that has a river. How do the people of God get or receive of the river? He that is thirsty, let him come and drink. Hallelujah. So go back to John. John 7. Now he says, he that believeth. So how else can you say a man that is, how else can you say a man believes? A man believes by drinking. How else can a man drink? A man drinks by believing. What does he believe? He believes the resurrection reality. So, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Right? Where is river going to be found? There is a river, Psalm 46. There is a river that is found, a stream found in the city of God. What is city of God? The company, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn. Are we together? So he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers. You see, the word there, rivers, right, in that scripture is a word that means potamos. Right, a word that means, I'll spell that for you in the Greek, potamos, P-O-T-A-M-O-S, is a word that speaks of a stream altogether, a river, a torrent, or something that floods, right? So it's going to speak about something that is given in surplus. Altogether, what is that which is given in surplus? Living water. What is living water? The water that has life, or the water, I mean life. Or water that is living, or water that has life, that quench, or that revitalizes man, or that makes man come alive. That's living water. Water, living water is the water that has life, such that when that water is in contact with a man that was thirsty is now what? Full, and he has life. He is now alive unto God. Are we together? Right? So, out of his belly shall flow. So, what is the promise of the scripture that says his belly shall flow and give rivers of living water? It will be the promise of the Spirit. Look at verse 39. But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. Is that not the same thing we read in 1 Corinthians 2? Now we have received. So, it means that when we did not receive, we were thirsty. Right? How did we quench our thirst? We quenched our thirst by receiving. Receiving what? Receiving the rivers of living water. What does that really mean? Receiving the water that has life. What does that really mean? Receiving the Holy Ghost. But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. Hallelujah. So the giving of the Holy Ghost is the giving of God's water to quench the thirst of a man, right? So God has a water that has life. That water that has life is another way of seeing the Spirit of God, which is, how else can you say that? The Spirit of God, that is the Spirit of adoption. Did you see that? Right? So go back to Ephesians 1 now. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Don't forget, we have received. Received what? Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. We have received the spirit which is of God. Say, I've received the spirit of God. Altogether. So Paul now tells you in Ephesians 1, he says, now and blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. What will all spiritual blessings mean there? Spiritual blessings will be the blessings of the Spirit. So are there blessings associated with the Spirit? Yes, so. Altogether. Are there blessings associated with the Spirit? Yes, 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 yes. You see, the word there, spiritual, is the word pneumaticos. Now, pneumaticos, I'll spell that for you. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. Pneumaticos. Now, it's a word that means, it's a word gotten from two words, which you can separate as pneuma and ticos. Right? So, you can say ticos will be things of, or pertaining, or belonging to. Right? So, when you say spiritual, pneumaticos, you are saying belonging to the Spirit, or things of the Spirit, or things of that Spirit. So, he's saying, who has blessed us with the blessings belonging to that Spirit. That's how you say spiritual blessings. Right? The blessings belonging to that Spirit, which are found in heaven, were in Christ. Altogether. So, what are the spiritual blessings? Look at verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. To be chosen is part of the spiritual blessings. Are we together? That we should be holy and without blame. That's spiritual blessings. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Remember, adoption of children. We now have the spirit of what? Adoption. So adoption is part of the blessings of the Spirit. Altogether. Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. Right? He says, he had made us to be accepted, verse 6, in the beloved. That's a blessing. What is that blessing? Spiritual. What does it mean by spiritual blessing? It is a blessing that belongs to the Spirit. So you can only have those blessings by belonging or by receiving the Spirit. Now, who are you? You are one who has received the Spirit. What does it mean to receive the Spirit? It means to quench your thirst because you believe the gospel. Altogether, look at verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, spiritual blessings, according to the riches of his grace, spiritual blessings, he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, right? Now look at verse, jump to verse, you can keep reading on that, up to 12, now look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, that is to say, in whom also ye believed, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that after ye believed, you were sealed. What does it mean to be sealed? It means to receive the seal, right? So what does it mean? What were we sealed with? The Holy Spirit of promise. How else can you say Holy Spirit of promise? The good thing promised in Matthew 7, the Spirit of adoption in Romans 8, and the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 2. So how do you receive the spirit of promise? You receive the spirit of promise by believing the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? The message about the resurrection reality that God has actually wrought, right, in his son Christ Jesus. So there's a spirit of the promise that you've received. So receiving the spirit is what you will call, a man that is born again. Or let me say it better. A man who receives the spirit is a man that is what? Born of the spirit, that is water. Remember John 3. Whosoever is born of water, that is of the spirit, is born again. Are we together? So what does it mean to be born again? It means to receive the spirit of adoption, receive the spirit of promise. Are we together? To receive the Spirit of God. What does it mean to receive the Spirit of God? To be born again. So, what happens to a man that has received the Spirit of God? He is born again and he has spiritual blessings. What are spiritual blessings? Blessings belonging to the Spirit. Did you get that? So, we have received God's Spirit. In receiving God's Spirit, we've received spiritual blessings. What is spiritual? pneumaticos, which is things belonging to or belonging to. Pneumaticos will be pneuma, which is for spirit, right? Pneuma is P-N-E-U-M-A. Then ticos will be belonging to or things of. Altogether. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. See what it says. It is written, I have not seen. It is written, I had not seen, nor ears heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. God had revealed them unto us how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are what? Freely given to us in Christ. Altogether. So are there things freely given to us in Christ? Yes. How do you pay attention to those things? You pay attention to those things by paying attention to the Spirit of God that has been given. Now go to 1 Corinthians 12. Now together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Are you there? Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, if you have a good Bible, you would actually realize that the word gift is in italics. Now, we've taught you over time that when you see a word like that in italics, more often than not, it wasn't in the original manuscript. Right? So now concerning spiritual gifts, another way to read that would be to read it without the word gifts. Right? So how do you see that? Now concerning spirituals. What is spirituals? We looked at that in our previous scripture. Where did we look at that? We looked at that when we were reading Ephesians, when we said spiritual blessings. What is the word spiritual? We said it's the word pneumaticos. What is pneumaticos? That is things of the Spirit, right? So when you say spiritual blessings, it is blessings belonging to the Spirit. Altogether. So when you say it's now concerning spiritual, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Stop. What does it mean to be ignorant? Now, the word there, ignorant, in the Greek, is a word that speaks about willfully rejecting a knowledge. I hope you're taking note of that. Right, is a word that speaks of willfully remaining in the dark. Are we together? Right, to remain in the dark, not necessarily because of lack of information, but actually because of ignoring information made available. Are we together? Right, so it says now concerning spirituals. Now, let's take those words carefully. Are we together? Now, the word there now is from the Greek word de. Let me show you an example of where it is used. Look at Hebrews 11, 1. The word now is the word de. Now look at Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, a lot of us have used this scripture to talk about how faith is in now. Say faith is in now. Faith is now. Faith is the currency by which you get the future check or whatever you say, right? But that word now, it doesn't mean, it's actually a conjunction to continue a conversation. Now, I'll give you the meaning of that word. The word now is the word de in the Greek. And it's a word that can be used as but, or moreover, or however, or nevertheless, or nonetheless. I'll give that again. But, however, moreover, nevertheless, however, nonetheless. Altogether. So it means that before you understand Hebrews 11, you must have read in previous verses. Altogether. So if you look at, let's just read verse 39. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are of them that believe to the saving of our souls. Nevertheless, or nonetheless, did you get that? Or moreover, faith. But better, so the better use of that word there will be moreover. Moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, all together. So go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So that is the word. Are we together? That's the word moreover. So let's read it, two verses before, just like we did in Hebrews. Are we together? I'll come back to 1 Corinthians 11 sometime soon to explain it, and to explain the concept of the communion that Paul was teaching about in 1 Corinthians 11, which a lot of us have, you know, taken out of context to speak about how some things should be done as ordinances. Anyways, look at chapter 11, verse 33. 1 Corinthians 11, 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, right? And if any man be hungry, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. So what will condemnation be? What Paul is addressing in the real sense is there are people are coming to church, and amongst people that come to church, there are those who are overeating and over drinking and getting drunk altogether. And there are those who don't have anything to eat at all because people are finishing the food before it gets to them. Right, so when he says that ye come not together unto condemnation, he says eat at home. What is he saying? When you want to eat and be what, full to the brim, eat at your convenience, at your peace in your house. But when you come together, because Jesus has shared his body equally for all of us, we share whatever we have equally amongst ourselves. That's what he's teaching altogether. Anything that makes us not to do that, what we are doing is we are bringing condemnation. Are we together? Not that we are condemned by God. No, you know, not that we have lost salvation. No, it is we are condemning. That is not paying attention to the fact that we are one in Christ. So what happens? You look at verse 30. 1 Corinthians 11. Don't let me go to 1 Corinthians 11. But for this cause, right, many are sick and weak amongst you, and many sleep. The word there, sleep, is to die. Not sleep as bad. They are sleeping so that the hunger will go. No, they are weak. And because they are weak because there is no food. Are we together? And there is no food because some other people are eating the food that should be shared equally amongst us, just like Jesus has shared his body for us all. Did you get that? And giving us equal portions of the Spirit, same measure, full measure. That's serious, right? So when he says, since it's 33, wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, that means they were coming together to eat. So what they were practicing was not a little touch of bread that will melt on your tongue with a little cup of wine. No, they were practicing feasting. Are we together? Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Are we together? It is wait one for another. And if any man be hungry, that is, if your hunger cannot be sustained when everybody is around to now share the food equally, eat well in your house so that you just take a little when you come among the saints. You know, when we're growing up, we learn that culture from our parents, from my parents particularly. When you're going for a party, what do? You eat well in your house so that when they are carrying a tray, or when they are carrying hand fan to go and give somebody, you will not be thinking it's tray with puff, you know what puff is, right? Swollen puff, right? So somebody just moves small like this, somebody just call your name, are you? You say yes, because you think they want to ask you, are you hungry, right? Why do you behave that way? Because you didn't eat from your house. But if you ate very well from your house, when you come together, you will be patient enough to actually wait so that everybody is together, you wait for one another, then you can share equally what is made available, just like the way Jesus shared equally what was made available, which is what? His Spirit. Are we together? So, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another, and if any man be hungry, let him eat at home, so that you don't come together unto condemnation. So Paul now says, the rest I will set in order when I come. There are lots of things Paul was trying to set in order. Are we together? So he now goes further in chapter 11. He says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. That is, I will not have you to remain in the dark. Did you get that? Now, concerning spiritual, I will not have... What is spiritual? Pneumatikos. What is concerning is the word peri in the Greek, and it's a word that means about, or concerning, or because of, depending on how you use it in context. So, concerning is the Greek word peri, and it's a word that means concerning, on account of, about, or something. So, now, concerning or regarding spirituals. What is spirituals? Belonging to the Spirit. That is, things of the Spirit. altogether. So it means that a man, you see, we've explained today from 1 Corinthians 2, Romans 8, Ephesians 1, John 7, not of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We've explained coherently the consistency and the fact that a believer is one who has received the message of the gospel, that is, he has received the Holy Ghost. How else can you say Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost can be Holy Spirit, that is the good thing God promises upon the resurrection, that is the spirit of promise. Do you remember that? In Ephesians 1, we have called it the spirit of adoption. Altogether, right? The spirit of God. Altogether, so there's a man can receive the spirit of God, but he doesn't know about the spirit of God, or doesn't know the things that are belonging or pertaining or that are regarding, or doesn't know things about the spirit. So Paul says, "Wherefore, my brethren, concerning spirituals, I will not have you to be what ignorant." Now it's so important to know that Jesus in the resurrection gave himself to rigorous study, and he showed by example a template what study should look like. Altogether, that's why we saw in Luke 24:24, certain of them went to sepulchre and found it so, as the women said, but him the Son of, and he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things that ye see, and to what? Enter into his glory. Bible now tells you, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. How else can you say that the things concerning the spirit, or the things concerning that which makes them saved, or the things concerning salvation? Altogether. So Jesus gives that template. We see by extension, we are asked to do that in 2 Timothy 2. Paul gives that admonition to his spiritual son as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you look at that carefully, and if you look at verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what does it mean to rightly divide the word of truth? Right? We said it's a word in the Greek that's offered to your meal, which is a word that means to carefully handle. Right? It's a word a lot of Greek scholars use for sophisticated mining. So what is sophisticated mining? Is a mining or a type of mining that deals with a lot of sophistication. What does that really mean? He says that you should handle the Bible as one who is doing a sophisticated mine, that is carefully trying to bring out what precious jewel from what rock, the mist of rock. Altogether, so he says you should have the attitude of a diligent student, a diligent miner. You know, that word as well can be used to describe a surgeon who goes into the theater to have an operation on the heart of a man. You see how careful he would be in tearing the heart, tearing the skin, tearing the flesh. That should be the attitude of a believer when viewing the scriptures, carefully handling the Bible, that you need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of aletheia, that's the word of truth, the word of the reality, right? So there's a right way to divide the word of truth, and the believer only gets to that place by giving attention to what? To study altogether. So he now goes further in verse 3, verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, how else can you say, and from a child? It is, and that from where you set out as a saint. Remember, we've taught that over time, that he's not teaching about when your mother gave birth to you. No, it is, and since when you set out as a saint, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which have an ability to make thee skillful regarding what? Salvation. So how else can you read verse 15? And from a child thou hast known, you can say, and from when you receive the spirit of promise, that is spirit of adoption, that is spirit of God. Altogether, that is when you began out in the Christian faith, thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise regarding salvation, into bracket what? The spirit which God gives upon the resurrection through faith, which is what? In Christ Jesus. So the scriptures are given by inspiration. So in this series, what we want to try to do is to pay attention to the spirit and the things of the spirit by examining the entire Bible in context. Right, so you see, scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and they are profitable. That's the word, advantageous for doctrine, right? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, who is the man of God? The man of God will be the man of God. Now, if you know, man of God there will not be gender, right? It will be what? The son of God. What is son of God? Children of God. Maybe what? Prophet, truly furnished unto all good things, right? So in the real sense, there are things of the spirit that we need to pay attention to examine. We're going to start continue looking at that again on Sunday, and to try and examine a few things that are being said as we look into scriptures. Do you understand? So what is Paul really saying when he says, now concerning spirituals, I will not want you to remain in ignorance. I will not want you to be ignorant about this. So we'll have a brief study on that on Sunday. Anyways, dear saints, it's been a pleasure to bring your God's word your way this evening. I hope you've been able to learn a few things here and there. Until I come away again on Sunday, stay joyful. Cheers. I love you all.